there it goes. All right. Chad, you're gonna have to drag a chair back.
Okay.
Okay. We're recording now.
We're good to go?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's 1:30, and we do have a quorum. So I need to clarify, since she is the only alternate that she booked.
Yes.
Okay.
She has voted.
Last week, and she was second to two alternates here, right?
Right.
Okay, you understand that?
Yes.
We had a full house last week.
Last month.
Last month, yes.
Last month.
Yeah, last month. Time goes by when you're having fun, doesn't it? Want to welcome the guest to the meeting. I guess May 2nd meeting of the planning commission.
Dave, can you open that door for him?
There he goes.
Oh, he's coming this way, never mind.
Quick question, turn it around. That has wheels.
I didn't want to make a lot of noise and make a big entrance.
That was successful.
All right, let's go approve with the minutes that are in your packet from last month meeting. Anybody have any concerns or adjustments to those minutes?
Make a motion to approve them.
Have a motion, can I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor? All opposed? So moved. All right, next item is, anybody have any, Jeff, you have anything to bring to meeting? That you can think of? Nothing. Kelly, you have anything? Jen?
No, I don't.
Okay, moving on. Unfinished business. I think the only thing I always forget is there's a director's report in the packet. I always forget to print that out.
Just read it, you have questions for me, this is the time to discuss it.
Maybe, that's in the back. Anything else, Ed? Chad, look at him.
No.
New business, major subdivision, PRD, or waiver request?
No, I just have the two variances.
During the appeals case, I see we have two?
Yes.
Okay, turn it over to you then, bud.
Okay, first one, variance 781, an application submitted by James Blint for a variance to allow the addition of a second story to an existing single-family residence. The owner proposes to stay within the current building footprint. Property is located on 335 Paradise Acres Road, tax map 66, parcel 35, lot 4, and it's LR1. This is because they want to use grandfathered setbacks. They're already a little closer, and they want to go up to a second story, but they're within 30 foot of other structures. So to use those grandfathered setbacks, you have to get this relaxed standard variance. So.
Is this one on the back road, or is it on the main road?
It's on Paradise Acres Road.
I'm trying to think, maybe I want to add that to the two roads come together. That's why we had a 40 foot setback on them. Anybody object to this yet, or any problems?
I don't. I was on vacation the last 2 weeks, so I'm not real familiar with it, so I don't know if Bill has heard from anybody. I don't see anything in the file.
Nothing throws up a red flag on it, pretty clean.
No, it's kind of one of those quirks that in the past we used to just allow somebody, if they used those grandfathered setbacks, they could do it. There's that new clause in the ordinance that we had last time we amended it that said, however, if you're within 30 feet of another structure, then we have this double check where we go through the variance process. And that's what come up. I think you can see on the site plan where it's showing how close they were to the neighbors.
And that's awkward because that's the one we always have problems with, because the county road and it's a private road on the backside of that property. So the ones that are on the backside or setbacks, it's kind of screwed up. I don't think there's any problem.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're going out of the footprint.
Send them going down to the zoning field.
Okay. And the other one is a special exception, number 467. An application submitted by Jason Houston for a special exception for an 8-bedroom transient vacation rental unit. Property is located at 127 Bobcat Hill Road, tax map 57, parcel 558, lot 6, in his own Lake Residential 1.
Only question I have is, where's Bobcat Hill Road? I thought I knew all of them.
I think that is off of Lake Shore Drive.
I think that's one of those subdivisions.
The View, maybe?
Not on the lakeside, but on the other side.
I noticed with some of those, a lot of the cases we're getting are the transient rental cases, it looked like that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is off Woodland Hills Lane, which is off of Lake Shore Drive.
Anybody have anything on this one? Send them down.
Okay.
Okay, next we have review the 2017 annual report.
Did everybody get this in your email? All right, so you've seen this a number of years now, pretty much the same every year. You know that we started out generally with minutes from all of your exciting meetings. We summarized them all in here. So that's the majority of the beginning part of this. Page 12 is where we start into a summary of subdivision activity for the year 2017. Page 16 is a summary of building permit activity. And page 23 is the summary of ag preservation. And I put them all together because Chad knows all about all of them. So, you know, load up your questions, point them at Chad, and fire them away. You're welcome. Tim had one. Go ahead. I'm passing it.
I was just trying to do the math on the building permits.
Mm-hmm. Jim did all that, so.
Yeah, and I was looking at 83 minus 24, that'd be equal 7, but there's prior year building permits that lag, and that's the difference.
Yeah, that may be. I mean, sometimes stuff gets submitted in 1 year and doesn't get approved till the next.
Okay, so could be 2 or 3 years before actual build.
7 up there.
I didn't know that you were able to keep one that long.
Well, the 7 up there is just inside priority funding. Okay, I see what you mean.
Oh,
about
I'm
the...
sorry. Okay. Yeah, there's everything.
I never understood that priority funding stuff anyway.
I'll have to look at that a little closer and double check with Jim.
Okay. I'm going to need that back. I thought I didn't
okay.
do it again, but I am.
The sprinklers had a lot to do with some of that too.
Yeah, so the year
yeah.
of sprinklers, we saw a big boom in housing. The next
or
year,
at least permits.
Yeah, at least permits. The next year, there wasn't much going on because I think everybody planning to do something got it the year before. Now it seems like it's kind of getting back to somewhat normal again.
Well, they're getting more people remodeling, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. But we're seeing new housing starts this year and stuff, so it seems like it's catching up again.
I think they're starting to level off. I think there's more competition for the sprinkler. Install market, so mm-hmm. the 10, 12, 15,000, they've been out back and getting more reasonable. I think people are willing to spend 3 to 5, you know what I mean? I don't mm-hmm. think they want to spend 25, you know.
You don't have a sprinkler system for a mobile home, right?
Yes.
You do.
If it's a new mobile home, so it all goes back to that date in July. If it's an old mobile home, you could bring it in and not do it, but anything built after that point would have to be retrofitted.
The actual construction date of the mobile home?
Yeah, when it was manufactured, so it would have to be retrofitted even in a single wide, double wide.
That's pretty sad when half of the units are mobile homes. Probably old mobile homes, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I have.
Any more questions about those? Reception.
Anybody have any other questions? Liz, you have any?
I don't.
Okay, then moving on to the local goal. Page 25, this is the one that we discuss every year because we can change our goal. what we did last year, we kept our goal, which was locating 10% of all new development within the priority funding areas by 2020. But we did add language last year to explain why that's difficult for us to do, because we only have 2.5% of our land area that qualifies as a priority funding area. Ironically, this year we met the goal, which is probably the first year that we've done it since we established the goal. 15% of new lots, 12% of residential development, and 13% of commercial development was inside PFAs in the year 2017. I do recommend, though, keeping the 10%, just because we have no consistency in meeting that goal as of yet. So Any discussion on that and thoughts?
There's something going on, but that doesn't...
We want it to go on regardless of place, right? Okay, everyone all right with that? Okay, so now, if you approve...
Motion to approve it, huh?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Need a second?
I'll second.
Second. Any further discussion? All approving the 2017 report, say aye. All opposed? So moved. Okay, moving on to the... Now, you guys like to be AE, how do you say, AEC, AECOM, right?
AECOM.
AECOM, okay. So we're looking over the AECOM report that very late on your, in front of you there.
Yes, and actually, let's just go ahead and get into the Chapter 11 topic list, and then we can launch into everything else. Chet and Terry and Amy are all here, and we're just gonna have an open discussion. But let's start with Chapter 11 topic list. That was our discussion last month about economic development. And I have to say, this was probably the most difficult for me to put together because we had broad discussions. So how to summarize that was a little difficult. And you will notice that chapter, or number four in that list is kind of all-encompassing, right? I said, discuss various aspects of workforce development, including but not limited to, and then I listed a bunch of stuff we talked about. So, let me know if I missed anything, if I adequately represented what your thoughts were last month.
I'm trying to read over this last second floor there, so I was threatened. I didn't remember what I said. Liz, do you have anything to...
No, I think that covers what we discussed.
Okay. Jeff, do you have anything?
No, I wasn't here at that particular meeting. I know I can make comments on agritourism. That's fine. I wasn't here, so I can't make comments.
All right. Well, if everybody's okay with it, then it's okay to forward to Chet. Hold it into an airplane and shoot it at you.
You got an injury right on the forehead.
You're not moving very quickly today, are you? Okay, so that was the end of the discussions of the various chapters within our existing comprehensive plan. Obviously, one of the things that you requested early on in this process is to have a separate chapter or subsection on infrastructure. So unlike the other discussions we've had, I don't have a chapter to go back to and say, this is what you said before. You didn't have anything to say about it before. But what I was able to do was go back and say, okay, what's infrastructure? We talk about water and sewer and the water resource element. We talk about transportation and the transportation element, both of which are required by law, right? So they have to remain separate the way they are. The only other place in our current comprehensive plan, that was good, that we mention infrastructure using that term specifically is in the economic development chapter. And when we did that, that was specifically in relation to industrial parks. Do we have enough infrastructure in the industrial parks? We need to make sure we have that. I think with our discussions, unless I'm hearing things wrong, we all agree that infrastructure is important everywhere, right? Not just the industrial parks. We want to support our small businesses, grow them a little bit bigger. We'd like to encourage them to be in our municipalities and encourage revitalization. So we need not only infrastructure there and other places, but adequate infrastructure. So the first question that comes up, and I try to get my thoughts together here because I'm not sure the logical sequence to put these in, but is where to put it. And I think that's what Chet began what he, I emailed it to you today, and I gave you a copy here at the meeting about where infrastructure should reside. I also gave you a copy of what was in our RFP for the suggested comprehensive plan outline. Just a review, we decided to reshape the document so that it was a little easier to read, hopefully. Chapter one is where we put the dry stuff, right? It's all the data, all the projections, all the numbers. Chapter two is environment, and under that we put land use, water resources, sensitive areas, and mineral resources. Chapter three is economy, and we put Deep Creek Lake, infrastructure, transportation, and economic development. And then chapter four was thriving population, which is housing and facilities and services. And then chapter five is our action plan. We've discussed all these great things, now what are we gonna do about it? So, that's for your reference, and also what Chet sent for your reference. I'm gonna let you explain what you sent. And
sure, yeah, I mean, I took a very quick look, but just kind of looked through the state of Maryland and to see what most recent comprehensive plans were, to try and get best practices and see what other counties were doing. So Wicomico County on the Eastern Shore, I believe, adopted their plan in March of this year. And they have because it's not required by state code, they don't have an infrastructure element, but they capture a lot of kind of infrastructure details in their community facilities chapter, which it looks, I mean, skimming through it, it looks like it does capture probably, I'd say, 70% of what you may be interested in. The thing that immediately jumped out to me, because it's a hot topic in this part of the world, is broadband, which there's no reference at all, but I would consider that a big part of an infrastructure discussion, especially given where housing and everything else is dependent on that right now. So that was one of the flags that immediately went off in my head, was where do you put that, and is it would still seem to make sense if it was a community facilities kind of discussion. I mean, I think this wasn't to provide an answer, it was more to just kind of start the thought process about where the best place to go.
Well, I want to go to my next thought, because you hit on that. My problem in sitting down and thinking about infrastructure was how we define it. And I think we've always said water, sewer, transportation network, broadband, and electricity. And when I sit down and I look at that, it doesn't quite sit well with me. So when something doesn't sit well, there's a reason, right? So I dive into it, and it's the electricity and broadband part. Water, sewer, transportation, we all agree with. When I'm thinking about giving people their basic needs to be able to live somewhere and have a good quality of life, I think about a primary and a secondary need. So primary need would be, do you have in your home lights and heat, right? Do you have those basic needs? Secondary would be, do you have the ability to communicate, both outward and communication coming to you? And that would be phone service. Do you have TV? Do you have internet? So one's primary, one's secondary. I'm not sure. It's not that I don't think electricity and broadband aren't infrastructure. I just don't think they're broadly enough defining, at least when I'm thinking about infrastructure. Anybody have any ideas on how
to define infrastructure? To me, it's a harder surface with me, just roads, septic, or sewer, water, tangibles. I mean, electricity, I always looked at it as an infrastructure, because look at how development, say Morgantown, for example, look where they're putting a new road in. They're putting gas, water, sewer, electric on that ditch going along the road. So then when they expand that shopping center out at the end of that cul-de-sac, then they know that's already there. So I think I think the biggest thing I've complained about is, since I've been here, has been we don't view it, the infrastructure, as one. I'm not different, I'm just throwing out my idea of what I think infrastructure is. That means when you build a road into a development, which we've done in Garrett County, that means all the infrastructure goes with it. And the infrastructure is power, broadband, you know, whatever, phone. That should go in the ditch beside the road that you're putting back in to that development, or to a commercial property, in my opinion.
Well, I think
that's the way I view it.
think it's really hard to have a business and not have broadband, actually. And I think, at least in my industry, I work from home a lot. If I don't have broadband, it's just not possible. So it's not. And I also have a 13-year-old son who would probably hurt me if I didn't have access to the internet so he could play his Xbox. So I definitely think that it's part of infrastructure.
It probably wasn't 10 years ago. I don't think it is now. And it's going to be tough to place because, like you said, probably what some of the places looked at Maryland probably don't have an infrastructure problem. You know what I mean? Right. You know, Washington County and Baltimore County and some of them don't have. Now you look at Salisbury County, maybe Allegheny County, but not as much as Garrett County. I think that the infrastructure, the only way, and Jim can correct me if I'm wrong, I think they made some deal for broadband, didn't they? I read that or heard somebody say that. But everybody keeps talking about the broadband, but without the other, our economic development, I think, is constrained without all of it being in one, especially on the commercial side. That's just my opinion. And I'm not trying to take away from what you're saying. It's just, I think now it has to be a package deal, in my opinion. I mean, what do you think, Jim?
Well, I think Liz is right. A lot of people would argue nowadays that broadband is as essential as electric, water, sewer, all those kind of things for business development, but just to be able to function nowadays, whether it's e-commerce or you're doing it for education or healthcare or whatever it might be. You know, the county now has this thing where you can go online and, what's it called, the doctor? Instead of going to e-doc or something like that. Broadband is essential in some form of that. It's not always fiber. The thing that we're working on now with DNG and now with Microsoft, with the Microsoft announcement, uses TV white space. And so it's a combination of unused TV frequencies and wireless and relay stations and towers and a lot of other things. But so it doesn't have to necessarily be a fiber and a conduit and a ditch, but I think broadband's essential not just for business nowadays, but most people, I think, don't want to build or have a house where they can't have broadband. So that's why this announcement with Microsoft and DNG is so important to us. But, you know, of course, we'd already started an initiative using ARC and county. It's been going on for two or three years now using TV white space. So it's kind of interesting that Microsoft is now involved in using the technology, the solution that we adopted two or three years ago. Makes me feel like we're on the right track. But you're right, you can't have, and that's one of the challenges for most rural areas, you can't have significant economic growth without supporting infrastructure. You just can't do it.
So we're going to go back.
Just like business parks. I think while I was in Annapolis last time, you talked about business parks and how they're essential to business growth. And business parks now, broadband is essential to businesses that are operating. Doesn't matter if you're manufacturing, distribution, fabricating, doesn't matter what you're doing, you have to have broadband access. It has to be reliable, dependable, high speed.
Oh, my goodness, what's that? We've come so far with the hospital and some of the businesses we're bringing in, and I think this is a real important step. And I'm not, like I said, where it gets put is, I don't think as relevant it is that we make sure that we understand that this has always been an issue for us. And Jim, you've been on the economic development side of it. Now you're a commissioner, so you're aware of the fact that, and I've beat the drum for how long about, infrastructure, because we just don't fit and can't. The funding, some of the stuff, private funding, runs out, which we see happen a lot on developments. And how many other developments are going to be completely finished in Garrett County? So that's one thing. And on the other hand is the industrial park issue with how many of those are going to be completely full. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. A lot of people, the old rental out here, you want to have an empty rental space, right? But in our case, I think we need to look at it like we need to get one of them stop them going at 100%, you know what I mean? And then move on. That, you know, like Grantsville's getting close, I think, right?
Yeah, I read their minutes, and I guess pretty accurately described it. Now, I guess maybe Kim came over and talked to you, but the Northern Industrial Park, I think Clausmay still has a little bit of space where they can expand, and they are talking about building a, they want to move the warehousing from Pennsylvania back down to near the plant, and they're talking about expanding the plant again. So Kaiser's Ridge Business Park, we're working with a prospect right now that wants to build 120,000-130,000 square foot building in there next year. So hopefully that'll help jumpstart that place. McHenry, we're working with Medco. The state of commerce has given us, has put up $2 million to build a shell building there. Plus we're working with a prospect that wants to build a 5,000 square foot building there this summer. So you have space at McHenry, you have space at Kaiser's Ridge. So the northern and central part of the county is covered. But, and I think you mentioned this in the plan, what's missing is the southern industrial park, which was doubled in size a few years ago, is now full. So one of the things that we should start looking at, and we're going to ask the new director of economic development to look at, is where could we put another, an annex or an expansion of the southern industrial park so we can have growth in the southern part of the county. Those parks become important because of the incentives that come with them, the tax credits and stuff, and also when you go to do, when you go to do something with the state, the really significant incentives come to the business that are, that will be located or expand in, the, in those. Faisal, Pillar, Closet Made, Air Container, Phoenix, Quality Machining, GCC Technologies, all those businesses that are several major businesses right now are in the business parks, largely because a lot of the incentives we were able to get from the state and federal government to help put them there.
I think another thing too, when you look at, we don't need to sidetrack, this is their show today, but the other thing you gotta look at, I think, Dima, we need to learn how to do flexibility. You build that 5,000 foot facility or 20,000 foot facility, you know, somebody might not need that. You want to be able to flexibility, which means you want a 2,000 square foot space. I think Morgantown did that in some of their, some place I read an article where it's all something on it. But what it's a flexibility is you have the capability of closing that down to, say, 1,500 square feet or whatever. And then I just don't like the fact that you've got several buildings that are sitting around vacant because the space is either too big or too small or whatever, too big most of the time.
The plan is on this shell building is to do that. It will probably have a gravel floor. We won't put the utilities in, and it'll be basically just a shell so that you can then customize it or tailor it to whoever wants to use it for.
Right. Well, I understand
that too. We already have somebody interested in part of it. So.
Right. I mean, I'm hoping that I just see too many of the places setting that they're not. So you have a couple places that we could market to somebody, but again, if it's a, what I mean by flexibility is you have adjustable positioning, you have, there's all kind of options, but they come more attractive. If your company wants to come in and get. I know because I'm talking to a guy right now looking for space. So he wants, he doesn't need a lot of space. He's got 30 computer, you know, people. And he's working some kind of contract or whatever he's working. Well, 30 people, they don't need 10,000 feet of space. They need 1,500 feet or whatever, you know what I mean? And so I think that's why where he's looking at is going to be very expensive. You know, see, I told him maybe call, get a hold of somebody that can help develop, see if they couldn't work with him. But it's 30 jobs, you know. Sorry about that. We'll go back to you guys.
Now, I was not protesting using electricity and broadband as part of the definition. And I think I might be getting down into the weeds of semantics, and it's Chet's job to pull me back out of the mud. But it's, does the terms electricity and broadband sufficiently cover what we want to say? Maybe it's just a terminology. Does broadband cover all forms of communication?
Well, you got communication. What I look at is when I'm putting a utility ditch in, you have your water, sewer, electric, communication. So that'd be phone, internet, whatever, cable that goes in that ditch also. So you end up with 10 conduits in the ditch that you're trying to take it all in there. So you call it communication. Under communication is broadband, internet, phone, cable. That's how the state always viewed it when they were out for bid. It was a communication. They gave you a communication spec, and that was the spec.
Maybe that's the term they use for the definition instead of broadband use.
That makes sense because it's a little more specific, and there are areas where it could be satellite instead of fiber, and so it covers that.
Right. Well, the same thing goes for electricity, because I look at electricity, and that's not necessarily how you get your heat. So maybe electricity isn't the right term either. It's how you get your lights, right. But it might not be how you get your heat, and heat's important.
One thing to think about is, I would wager a lot of money that between this plan and the next plan, is 5G is going to be rolled out, which is going to, I don't know if you've read anything about it, but it's totally changing how service is provided, and it's physically going to be a lot different than towers spread out every couple miles along the road. It's going to be like electric box size hubs on every block, so that the intense amount of data that needs to be provided is provided everywhere. So it's really going to, I mean, that's going to impact a lot of things, whether it's just aesthetics in downtown Oakland or physically where things can go in a right of way and those kinds of things. So that's something we could talk about in the infrastructure part too. And that's, I mean, it's not too far off. If you saw that Sprint and T-Mobile just merged, part of the big reason for that was because they wanted to be more flexible for 5G.
So do you have a recommendation on that to cover what Debbie's talking about, or anything?
We not call the electricity part.
I mean, it almost seems like the discussion is going, for lack of a better term, like hard infrastructure versus soft infrastructure.
Right, that's exactly right.
If you look at Chapter 3 going up to Chapter 4, you really kind of work in a lot of quality of life discussion too, which is kind of where I think where we're going with the broadband and internet service. So, I mean, if it's okay, I'd probably like to put some more thought into it before.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things with infrastructure with the sustainable environment
right.
chapter is right. windmills, solar,
yeah,
stuff like that else. That yeah. are part of that equation now, you know?
And that's the struggle. We don't want repetition, but this kind of fits everywhere. Little pieces of it go in different places. But I see the value in bringing it all together and specifically outlining that. So, you know, my thoughts on the chapter are, you know, you start by defining what you're talking about. What do you mean? What's important? Why is it important for both economic development and for quality of life issues? Is what we have adequate? If not, why is it not adequate? And then what do we do about it? It's kind of a broad overview of how to handle that chapter. I don't know.
No, I think
it's
right.
a shot in the dark for
yeah.
me, so.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, now I do have a question. We had talked about making Chapter 5 an action plan. So instead of having recommendations in every, at the end of every chapter or subsection, and then repeating them again at the last chapter, which is what we did with the last one, just put them all in the last chapter as an action plan. So I'm still on the fence with, I mean, it kind of puts a little nice little neat bow on it if we go right into, and this is what we're going to do about it, but then that conflicts with the idea of having an action plan at the end instead of repeating things throughout the document. So kind of back and forth. Any thoughts on it?
Like
I don't think it hurts. I don't think it hurts to repeat yourself. Yeah. I mean, that the last chapter brings it all together.
Yeah. I think it might be kind of going off your point if you wanted to state what you're going to do, but then in Chapter 5, I think the most important piece of an action plan is how you evaluate it. And so you have to measure what you're doing. And it might be a good place in Chapter 5 to lay that out.
Good idea. And it could be a recommendation and then the action plans, implementation strategies, and measurements.
Right.
Right.
But in the past, has there really been an action plan? See, I always thought, I know what you're talking about, like a strategic plan where you, even goals, you know, we just talked about the goal for housing starts in PFAs. We don't have a goal. We're just trying to match up what's happening with what we're citing. For example, if we had a goal, then what are we doing to promote housing in priority funding here? We're not really.
We could.
So, no, but to your point, I think part of the overarching thing we ought to decide or understand is, maybe I'm wrong, but I had the sense in the past that the plan was kind of a overall, kind of a, here's where we want to go, here's what we'd like to see, or here what we, but there wasn't really action steps in it. It was a document that departments and agencies and other people could use then to develop the specific steps that you're talking about. You know, here's how we're going to do that. It was kind of a box that you can operate within or something. That's the impression I always had of it. I don't think there was anything. Maybe I'm wrong, Debbie. I just don't remember anything where there were specific action items per se in there that said, here's what we're going to do to drive us in the direction that we want to go, and here's how we're going to measure. I don't think we did that.
I don't think we have measurements, but what we did have was that at the end of every chapter, we had policies and actions, and it was recommendations of this is what you should do. On chapter 12, we did plan implementation, so we had a chart where we relisted all the policies and actions, and then we had who's responsible for it and what the time frame was going to be. So, for example, one of them was to amend the zoning ordinance. The responsible party was planning and land development, is what we were called then, and we had a 2-year time frame to get it done. And listed under there was remove the rural development zoning district, replace the existing LR district with LR1 and LR2. So there were specific things that we were supposed to do, and because I was able to take this document and go, okay, we did that, we did that, we didn't do that, why didn't we do it? So we had some structure. We didn't have measurement necessarily.
Well, and we can define what measurement looks like. So it goes back to the point, what's the document intended to do, mm-hmm. and how does it guide the county?
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is I know what's in this document, and I'm probably the only person who does. Well, Chad. Everybody who works in my office knows what this document is, and they know what's in it. To Tony's point that he's made over and over again, we don't want to spend all this time and have it sit on the shelf and nobody uses it. And it's all well and great that my department knows what it is and we check off the little boxes, but if there's nothing happening beyond that, then is it as useful as it can be?
So you brought up a good point about policy. And maybe the measurement is evaluating policy and how policy drives the decisions. So that's it's a little bit of work, but that is, I think, would be very useful. Because the policies we have in place, either impede or promote our goals. Sometimes people don't look closely enough at the policies that are already existing. And if you're not forced to do it, it's hard to do.
It's hard to do when you're forced to do it.
That's true. but that's one thing we can consider.
Any input from your experience with how recommendations and actions and implementation and measures all tie in together?
I think it works best when everybody's bought in. I mean, I'm not stating something that isn't known to everyone, but if you get to an action plan and identify responsible parties, and those responsible parties have no idea what you're talking about, then.
So if we say the health department should do such and such.
Right.
And they weren't involved.
Then the metrics to make sure you're showing progress, health department needs to know what they are, and I mean, everybody has to be talking to each other. So I think that's part of our goal is, as we move through this process, make sure all those people are at the table.
Progress is an important word. Huge there, because that to me is what's this one is almost impossible to show progress because we don't know what the goal on some level. You know what I'm saying?
We anticipated a lot more growth than we had.
Right. So that, Jim, I think to your speaking, I would like to see this be a little more realistic in a sense, and that's why I think that Debbie is, when you got put it together, I'd like to see something in the end, at least for discussion purposes, that says here's why. Here's a more realistic look at what view of what Garrett County is in 5 years than what it was in this book. I know you're wrong, in this book, when we did this one, it was times a little different. But
yeah.
Any other discussion on this?
First of all, kind of thing.
Joe?
Well, exactly. It comes back to the data you're using. So what are you going to include in the first part of this as far as data is concerned, and then how do you compare that? Then you have an accurate measurement system that you can see progress or not.
Right. Okay, anything else on this?
On that, no, I don't think so. Unless somebody has something else to say about infrastructure specifically.
Yeah, there you put.
So are we going to have a chapter in there on infrastructure? Is that what we decided?
That is what was decided earlier on, so I'm going off of that unless somebody's changed their mind on that. Where we locate it, it's our chapters that were traditionally called chapters in here. Are now going to be subsections of the main principles. Mm-hmm. So it would be a separate subsection.
Make it better reading, you know.
So I have a quick question about the chapters. Where will education and health be?
Education and health are under facilities and services. I did look at that today and think maybe we should call it something different. Because when you look at facilities and services, it's a lot of different things. For me, it seems like a catch-all, but it's community facilities. We've got in education, that includes the college and the public system, all the libraries, police, fire, rescue, solid waste is in there, health department is in there, social services. It's all in. Yeah. So it all makes sense under thriving population, whether we call them facilities and services or community facilities, maybe we break them out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's been. Historically, it's been everything provided for the public health, safety, and general welfare.
Okay, moving on to the next topic.
Next topic is not in your agenda, but we need to discuss the visioning workshop open house that is happening on May 18th. Just to let you all know, this is considered all the public meetings that are coming up because we are. This will kick off the public engagement strategy, gathering input from the citizens. So there will be at least four public meetings. And I'd like you to attend them all, and you'll be paid like you are normally paid for a regular meeting if you refuse to be paid. So we will be, so if I have a check off and I have to sign you in, it's because, you know, that's how I track who's at these meetings and get you paid properly. So, first one's May 18th. It's a Friday evening at the college at the Special Events Center, which is the old gymnasium, to those of us who grew up here and know it that way.
We'll send us a reminder, right?
Yes. Yes. And it is from 7 to 9. You probably want to be there earlier than 7, because that's when the public shows up.
Cocktail. Cocktail before.
Arrangements could probably be made. Yeah, so I'm going to turn this over to Chet because he's organizing this and he can tell us what to expect.
Sure. Actually, before they have to jump out, could I let Terry talk a little bit about kind of the events that we've been working on leading up to the vision?
And please introduce yourself because I don't think you better.
I'm Terry Cutright, and I have my own management marketing company in Morgantown. My background's in community development, and particularly downtown development as an emphasis. For about 30 years. I also am blessed that I have a wonderful intern from West Virginia University. She is getting a master's in public administration and also cultural resource management, and her name is Amy Loomis. And I am a subcontractor with AECOM, and this is my second project to work with them on. And I want to thank the Planning Commission for the support of including AECOM, which includes me. Also, we have been having stakeholder interviews, and I'm kind of old school, and I like to meet with people as opposed to talk on the phone or text or email. So we've tried to do most of them in person. We had one this morning. We met with the Board of Education, which that isn't what she wants to be called.
Superintendent of the public schools.
Yeah, she likes public schools. We're used to calling it Board of Education. This afternoon, we have two more set up. We're meeting with the environmental agriculture people, also economic development, and the Garrett Trails. I've also had to have a phone conversation with Nicole from the Chamber and the CBB because she's going on vacation. And so a few more telephone, but we will be concluded. I have one more to schedule and with public safety, and she was actually texting me last night. And so hopefully by May the 4th or 5th, we will have all of those concluded. We have been recording those, asking people if we can record their conversations just so we don't miss anything. And taking, both of us taking notes, both of us have been included in that. And then we'll get with Chet in the format that is he is desiring for them. We have another one at 2:30, so if we slip out, that's why we're leaving, not because we're mad and we're going.
Everybody been pretty receptive?
Oh, everybody's been awesome. And, you know, Shelley sat in on one. I mean, you have an amazing community. You really do. You have a lot of passionate people. And everybody wants the best for the community. And I've not seen a lot of, you know, this is public health. That's all I want to be. I mean, everybody understands how interrelated all of your services and agencies and activities are. So the passion is there. We're hearing a lot of common theme, aging population, how do we attract families, how do we attract companies, manufacturing, housing's expensive, a lot of the businesses geared to the lake, and, you know, yet what about us? And so we're hearing a lot of common themes.
Now, Morgantown, I know guys have student housing issues. As far as, and I don't like the term, let's say middle class, lower middle class housing. What I've noticed over there is there's areas that are being developed that are more reasonable cost-wise, I mean, than what we have over here. Is there a, what am I trying to, is there a formula that you guys are using to, is there like a, what income level are you trying to fit these people into, say, a house of 150,000 or 200,000 or something like that? Cause I know you said you were into marketing, you know, and I just wondered if there was any number, you know what I'm saying? That you,
oh, I understand.
Yeah. I mean, it's just first come, first serve type of deal over there, I guess. Like,
well, I don't know what Terry could say, but I think there's a huge gap.
Oh, I know there is here.
I mean, yeah. There is here, there is there too. I mean, it's yeah. Student housing or $500,000 homes. I mean, there's a huge need for that middle bracket that the market's just not receptive to right now. Yeah, so I think everybody's trying to figure that out.
I mean, it's very difficult in Morgantown to get comfortable housing for less than $150,000. I mean, that's, you know, if you're going to purchase. And because the student housing is such that, you know, the value of the land is there, and, you know, if you can put, you know, six college beds in as opposed to a family of, you know, four, they're going that route. So it's difficult. We're very challenged with affordable housing also.
I just watched the Suncrest area. I have a real good friend of mine lives in that area, and I've looked at a couple properties over the years back, a couple properties, and I see how even that been affected by the student housing market,
yeah.
Which is surprising because that was more of a community, mm-hmm. You know, coming this way, you know, and you can see the housing starting. I think that is a genuine concern. Jim hears that all the time. We talk about here a lot. And I like to use that. I just know that there's, you know, it's hard to keep our young people here because of affordability, you know, and it's just, I noticed like even out 119, going towards Graft in that area, that now the housing is mm-hmm. going out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And it's,
I'm just glad people are cooperative and, you know, I'm sure.
Even out that way, because I have a friend that lives out there in the one development, the Ashton Estates, which you probably see, and it's really developed. I mean, you're talking upwards of 250, 300,000 out there.
That's a hard start. It's hard to park for a young couple, especially a young family with two kids even. It's just, it's tough. I didn't mean to get off track, you know, I do that once in a while.
That brings back.
So Terry mentioned the common themes that are starting to bubble up, and I think that's really leading us into this visioning workshop on the 18th. It's one of the things, so our thoughts, was this handed out?
Yes.
Okay. So our thoughts were, this is really an open house kind of format where people can come in at their leisure on a Friday night, kind of stroll around the room, and we'll have probably four stations where there's different things for people to learn about, provide input and feedback on questions that we might have. And we really want to focus this on kind of that initial capture of what people think of the way things are now and what the missing pieces are. So a lot of this is going to be geared towards vision. What does the county want to be? And I think part of what we're doing is using what I did last time I was here, when you all did the little visioning exercise. That's kind of an impetus for people to then look at what your opinions were anonymously, to then say, oh, I agree with that, or this is way off, and this is really where we need to go. So collecting, kind of doing the same thing with the community members on that Friday night, to kind of see if we're on the right track in terms of what the Planning Commission was thinking, what leadership was understanding, and then how we need to move forward or change direction. And obviously, the more people that come, the better results we're going to get. The next two things are looking at what the assets are. What are the great things about Garrett County? We want people to share those, and it'll all be geographic based. We'll have maps at each station so people can find places on the map and identify where these resources are and tell us in their own words what makes them good things to keep hold of. And then piggybacking on that, they'll then rotate around to what the needs are, needs and opportunities. So these are the things that we really like about Garrett County. This is what we're missing right now, whether that's a countywide type of thing, which we'll take note of, or anything that's really specific. A lot of times it's going to be, this is what I notice when I get home after work, or this is where my neighborhood really is missing. And we'll get people to share those ideas as well. And then all of that will be kind of wrapped up, and we'll be able to use it to then go into the next section, which leads into the next round of community meetings, which is really more about goal setting and starting to come up with common themes and goals and strategies, and eventually that'll work into recommendations. So this is really that kickoff to kind of get people excited. So I know Debbie said it, but it's really important to get as many people here as possible. We've got flyers that are done that I think have been distributed already. There's a Facebook page. If there are other ways that any of you know that would be a good resource to get people engaged, please let me know. And I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that those groups are identified.
Yeah, and the press release went out this week.
Yeah.
I also distributed the flyer to a number of people. Shelley was one of them, so we're going to use her mechanism at the health department. It went to Nicole Christian at the chamber, and they're putting it in their newsletter and their events page. We put it up there. It went to the mayor's, and they're going to post it in all the town halls. Went to the library director, he's posting it in all the libraries. Also went to Engage Mount Maryland because they have a forum and an events page as well. So they're distributing it. It went to the Deep Creek Property Owners Association and Friends of Deep Creek Lake because they have a mailing list. It's going out to all of them. Everybody that I contacted agreed to distribute. And not awesome. Only for this one, but for all the next ones as well. So I'm keeping a running list of people with email blasts and newsletters.
So maybe seven, I mentioned it, but an article in the Republican?
Yeah, we did press release.
You did?
Yeah.
George did it?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It'll be like tomorrow?
It'll be the next 2 weeks. So it'll be tomorrow and next week.
Okay.
And then the school system. Get the flyer through.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
The POA already
emailed it to all the property owners.
And then you might, the local radio stations do some advertising on there as well.
I have a question. I don't think it's stated here, and I saw the press release, but where is it going to be held?
At your college, the Special Event Center.
And are you having refreshments?
Sure.
You have to have refreshments.
Okay.
It's just a must.
Yeah, anything, any place local that people really like, or just bring cookies and drinks?
And what's up, free?
Well, yeah.
We're talking about beer and wine.
Tony was, but Shelly's talking about it.
I'm telling you, what a big crowd, get to talk to you. And Dave, you'll pay.
Now it's all so well.
Can you show up?
No, but it is important.
Oh, sure.
And it's important for the advertising. So if the goal is to get numbers, you have to give them a reason to come out other than the good of the planning.
Right. And everybody cares about planning, but.
The first page, the second paragraph, last sentence, is that referring to the planning commission? When it says commissioners, who are we talking about?
Yes, we're responsible for standing at a station.
But not his commissioners.
Not
this
you.
This commission.
This commission.
Okay.
This commission, which you're a part, but.
Sure, I just. Yes, no problem.
However, I will say this, one of the reasons to have a third party is that people will talk to third party and to citizens better than they will talk to a commissioner or me. You want them to talk about their visions for the county, for better or worse. I'm an extension of the commissioner,
sure.
So if somebody talks to me, it's going to be that my tax bill's too high, or I'm having problems with my water, or my neighbor's dog kept me up, or whatever it is, which is fine, you know, I mean, that's part of my job, I listen to it all, and that's fine, but that's not what you want during the exercises. You want them to be free to speak. So I really don't think it's a good idea, not to let you off the hook, to have the commissioners standing there for this exercise.
Okay.
You'll hear it.
You can disagree with me if you want. That's fine. We can.
My reason for putting that in there was to keeping you all engaged.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm talking about the county commissioners,
okay,
not
gotcha,
these.
Gotcha.
Because.
No, I agree.
These men and women are senior citizens, as you know,
yes.
But. I think somebody's less likely to come up to Tony to complain about their tax bill than they are to go up to Jim and complain about their tax bill.
Did you just call Tony a citizen?
I said he's a citizen. He is seen as a citizen.
I need to start wearing my hair again.
You can sign me up for wherever you need me to be. And I'll probably have a few children with me, but. As long as they're sued.
And you're going to rotate them so they're not, they
yes.
have a chance to
yes.
walk around and speak as well.
Definitely.
So you'll have a
right.
sign-up sheet or?
Is that the auditorium?
That's the old gymnasium.
Are you planning on
where you used to play ball?
Is that what they call it?
They call it a special
event. Are you going to be able to write about the event later? Like,
I would like to do that, yes. I mean, typically we would notify news stations and there'll be somebody there.
We'll just have one of us with our phones, something to
yes.
be able to document positive activities.
Right.
Always great for following.
And I'll have, I mean, I'll definitely have my own staff there that will be able to take pictures and document stuff. But I mean, if there are any local reporters that we should identify, I'd be happy to reach out to them too.
Okay.
I'm not real hoping for a great big turnout. Two reasons. One, the weather will probably be nice. Number one, and two, there's not as much things to complain about. Fracking issues go on, wind turbine issues been beaten down.
I don't know, there's still some stuff.
Yeah, I know.
There's always stuff.
Yeah, but I
yeah.
you'll have some of the same old, but you'll,
and that's
you'll,
okay.
Right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I actually think it'll be pretty well attended.
It depends on
I've seen a lot about it on Facebook, and I've had a lot of people ask me about the comprehensive plan, and I mean that a lot of people don't know it exists and what it really does.
Or what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably have a blanket statement
ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think part of what I wanted to do was in one of the stations have like a planning for dummies kind of handout that talks about the Maryland code and what the requirements are.
101.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying.
And I've done that.
Let's call it 101.
But that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll definitely have something like that to be able to get done.
Okay. I also wanted to let you know that Dave Cotton, who is our regional planner, will be there for the state of Maryland.
Okay.
And we need to set up a meeting with him. He needs to be involved throughout the whole process. Obviously, they review the comprehensive plan at the end to make sure it's in line with state law.
Okay.
And so the sooner he's involved and the more he's involved, the easier the process is going
to
be.
You think that needs to be between now and then, or
when
he's here for that?
I'll introduce you when on the 18th, and then you guys can set up a meeting. But
okay.
Just so that's on your radar,
yep.
Just to keep him in the loop throughout the entire process.
Not to be picky, but if you're going to have it at the Special Events Center, all the signage down there is for events.
Mm-hmm.
You go out Mosser Road and around that, you don't want to go that way, right? You want to go on Bumblebee Road.
Right.
You ought to arrange, I think you should probably arrange with the college to put some signage there.
Right.
Otherwise, everybody's going to end up right on the back side.
Mm-hmm.
They just did it for the job fair and it worked out.
Okay.
That's where parking is.
Say again?
That's where parking is. That's where I always go the back way. Because that's where you park, right? I mean, have they changed it? But you want them to go in front of the college and come up by the ball field and
no,
go in the back?
The signage right now that's there says event parking or something in the direction of Mosser Road out behind. If you turn at the dorms and come in behind the park.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of events being held at the park.
Oh, okay.
That's where most of the events are, like the health fair, the art fair.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'll talk to the college about that. Anything else, Chad, about that night?
I don't think so. I could definitely use some ideas on refreshments. I don't know if I'm bringing them, but if there's anything in particular.
Okay. Thank you.
You did the hard work. Anything else,
Debbie? Yes. That's it. And just let us know what you expect from us and what
sure.
We might need to bring. And
I guess I'll firm up that kind of outline for the 18th and send it back to you.
Okay.
But once everybody gets to look at that again, if there's any one particular station you really feel drawn to, let us know and we'll cancel it in. Otherwise, we can.
Right.
I like the way you broke it out. I mean, I think
it's different than what I expected. I thought we were going to have a more traditional forum where people would stand and speak. And
that's tough.
Like we've had in the past,
that's tough.
And this is a lot better.
I think once
we did something like this,
yeah.
When we looked at the tier groups and
yeah, I see the next. I see the second round of meetings more like a sit down. Here's what we've heard. What do you think? And I had said in the proposal that we were looking at some of these voting tools, and I think we can really use some of those in that second round of meetings when we're talking about goals to say, do you like this or this? And people can choose one, and then it's really cool because everybody in the room sees
immediately everybody interacts. That's
what
yeah.
the preference is.
Yeah.
So
that's a good idea.
So you'll have somebody at each station.
Yes,
yeah, the next three meetings
there.
Will be after this one. Will be around those guiding principles,
environment,
economy,
and right.
Okay.
Anything else? And anybody, Dave, you guys have anything you need to say? Or I'm sorry, and I apologize to your partners there. I did not introduce them.
No, they're fine.
I talked to them, we came in, and I got sidetracked, so that was bad on my part. So, anything else? Next meeting. May 18th, right? Friday night?
Yeah.
The college?
That's your extra meeting. And then the one after that, back here, is June 6th.
We'll meet down at the Blue Moon, and we'll go from there to do dinner.
Yep.
Getting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Jeff, we're done for the day? There's not another meeting today?
No, but I thought Terry had something arranged with you and Kim in the back meeting.
I just had something at 3:30. I didn't.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
She wanted to discuss economic development.
You don't need
anything. Nope. No.
I got mine. together. I said he hadn't been back.
I don't know what happened.
Have you talked to him about it?
He was in the office. Jeff, wasn't Jeff in the office the other day?
He got a building permit, but I didn't deal with him. Jim talked to him.
He's still around.
Liz, so you're gonna send me an email with time marks?
Yeah, I'll let you know.
What are you doing? You look like you're moving slow.
Catching something, you can't get over something.
Stay on that side.